In China, military spending is up, but growth targets are down. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. The annual meeting of China's National People's Congress is often the occasion for significant announcements. And this year, there are already two. An increase in military spending at a time of growing tensions with the US and the lowest GDP growth target in decades. Here's the BBC's Stephen McDonnell in Beijing.
Inside the cavernous Great Hall of the People, nearly 3,000 delegates gathered for the annual National People's Congress. It was the first such meeting since the dramatic abandonment of zero COVID, following widespread protests against citywide lockdowns and the restrictions on people's movements which were killing the economy. Outgoing Premier Li Keqiang defended the party's handling of the pandemic.
We overcame difficulties. We succeeded in maintaining an overall stable economic performance. In a complex, fluid environment, we were generally able to hit our main targets.
That this year's growth target has been set at a relatively modest 5% shows there are still major challenges with real estate debt, global pressure on China's tech companies, and youth unemployment. Some analysts have warned that the new party leadership could itself be part of the problem. At this Congress, Xi Jinping is expected to replace any ministers and department heads not directly aligned to him with clear loyalists, many who worked with the president as he came through the ranks in the provinces. The danger, though, is that he'll be stuck in an echo chamber, surrounded by people not prepared to offer the frank and fearless advice a world leader needs to hear.
BBC's Stephen McDonnell there. Now, let's do the numbers. The price of oil dropped in reaction to China's modest annual growth target, and one of Credit Suisse's oldest shareholders has sold its entire stake in the bank. David Harrow, the chief investment officer of the US investment manager Harris Associates, said he's just not convinced by the Swiss bank's latest radical restructuring. Credit Suisse's shares have collapsed by about 80% over the past 2 years and stand at around $3. Now, South Korea has announced plans to try to end a bitter dispute with Japan about the use of forced wartime labour. Seoul had hoped to raise money for victims directly from Japanese companies, but it's now setting up its own public compensation fund instead. The government in Tokyo has welcomed the announcement. The BBC's Seoul correspondent Jean McKenzie reports.
Relations between Seoul and Tokyo have been marred for decades by issues stemming from Japan's colonization of Korea. This is one of the final sticking points. In 2018, South Korea's Supreme Court ordered Japanese companies to compensate 15 victims of forced labor, but the companies refused. Now Seoul has agreed that South Korean companies will foot the bill. The victims and their families had wanted Japan to pay, but still, this is a diplomatic success. The deal should allow the neighbouring countries to overcome a huge obstacle in their relationship.
The BBC's Jean McKenzie. It's exactly 4 weeks since the devastating earthquakes which killed more than 40,000 people across Turkey and Syria. Many of those who survived have had their homes destroyed and are now living in tents and train carriages. The BBC's Middle East correspondent Anna Foster is in the port city of Iskenderun, which is in the quake zone. She told me how people are surviving.
For a lot of people, it is still incredibly difficult. Around about 2 million is the number that AFAD, which is the Turkish Disaster Management Agency, estimate have actually left this area altogether. You've been able to get out on trains and on flights, which have been oversubscribed, which have been free. But there is still a lot of people, maybe 1.5 million, in this area. A lot of them are living in tents still, or in sports halls. We've found people living on trains. You know, people are having to make do for now because things like more permanent containers are on the way, but they're not here just yet. So it is an incredibly difficult situation. Even 4 weeks on, things are still very hard for people who survived this.
Anna, what about infrastructure in those areas? Is there power, places to get water?
Often not. So the power is gone in a lot of places. Equally, the water, the sewage situation is poor. Again, those sorts of things take a lot of time, more time really than they've had to try and get back into place. There is aid coming through. People are often given things like food packages and water. People have got tents. But infrastructure-wise, you can only really guess at how long it will take to try and put all of that back into place. I mean, one thing that I saw last week was people from the local power company going round and actually shutting off the electricity to the damaged buildings. So they're not even at the stage yet where they're starting to put it back together. They are still making what remains safe.
So as you mentioned, there's a little bit of money going towards these people, but is there money from the government or aid agencies for shelter?
Aid agencies are sending shelter through, and there have been a lot of charity donations, of course, around the world. People have seen these appeals and they've donated money. But from a financial point of view, the World Bank has said that this level of damage, they put it at around about $34 billion, which is an extraordinary amount. It's around about 4% of Turkey's GDP. And of course, consider that Turkey is already going through an economic crisis. People here have been struggling financially. The currency, the Turkish lira, has devalued significantly. So when you roll all of those things together, it means that future rebuilding and reconstruction programs will be very hard and very expensive. And you do wonder how much they can afford.
And is there any more talk about rebuilding, Anna? Is there any more new plans on that?
Well, President Erdogan has talked about an ambitious rebuilding programme, which he says will start within the year. People do question that for all the reasons that we were just talking about, Turkey's financial situation, the sheer scale of this. There are supposed to be presidential and parliamentary elections here in Turkey in 2 months' time. So I think some people do question whether those lofty promises are perhaps linked to that upcoming election campaign, as opposed to something that is really rooted in the cold reality of the situation.
That was the BBC's Anna Foster reporting for us in Turkey. And finally, Toblerone has had to remove the iconic Matterhorn mountain peak from its packaging. And it's all because some of the chocolate's production has moved from Switzerland to Slovakia. Under Swiss law, national symbols are not allowed to promote milk-based products that are not made exclusively in Switzerland. Mondelez said the image of the Alpine peak will be replaced by a more generic summit. For more on that story, you can visit the BBC News website. And that's all from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer was James Graham. Matthew Exel is on the tech. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.